Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. Still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. This is the great debate. But it can only be a debate, of course, if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls. The number is 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back. Establish a clear line. And remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be down at zero, or no one will understand either of us. You can SMS the show also on 4478-00-8066, or you can email us at comment@presstv.co.uk. Well, I'm just out of Africa, just off the plane from Sudan via Cairo in Egypt. A couple of interesting destinations. We talk about Cairo and Egypt, a very great deal. I'm hoping that we can talk about Sudan in the course of the next couple of weeks here on Comment, because I see what has happened to Sudan as a kind of prototype of what is in store, if they're not careful, for many Arab countries. Sudan has lost a third of its country, 25% of its population, and 75% of its oil wealth. All by imperial design. And like so many other imperial designs, patented first here in the United Kingdom. A United Kingdom that is growing ever more Eurosceptic, and sufficiently so to make the United States anxious. The US government gave a rather unusual implied rebuke to David Cameron's government in the last couple of days, warning Britain about the dangers of having a referendum in Britain on our membership of the EU. Now, let me run that one past you again. The United States is lecturing us about our relationship with the EU. Who do they think they are? And what do you think about Britain's relationship to the European Union? I myself am growing increasingly skeptical about it all. Where do you stand? Now, on the subject of the UK, its flag, the Union Jack, or as I was brought up to describe it, the butcher's apron, blue and white, splattered with red, that red being the blood of many nations. Well, it's the cause of many, many riots, almost nightly now in Belfast, all because the city council decided that they would only fly a gigantic Union Jack most nights in the year rather than every single day. What's in a flag? What kind of people are fixated with that flag above all? One that fluttered above some of the worst massacres and worst injustices, worst acts of organized crime in world history. Where do you stand on the Union Jack? And in Egypt, where I was this morning, the government of President Morsi has called together the Palestinian factions, principally Fatah, which is the party of Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian president, and Hamas, which is the party of the Palestinian prime minister, and sat them down together and impressed upon them the urgency of implementing the unity agreement that they made back in 2011. It's 2013 and there still ain't no unity. What next for the Palestinian people? How can a house divided in this way hope to triumph over the powerful enemies that still confront them? All of that is coming up here on Comment on Press TV. These, of course, though, are my views. They're not the views of Press TV, still less are they the views of any government. And if you have different views, your call, text, or email will be prioritized. Let's go all the way to Michigan in the United States to talk to Jamshed on the Palestinian unity question. Jamshed, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George Galloway. You have a very, very interesting program. I hope God help you keep running that program forever.
God will.
My point is, I hope I can hear you and you can hear me very well. My point is that the Zionism will not allow to create a state of Palestine. the Zionism, the way they did to Native American in the United States, they wipe out their generation. They have a plan to do the same thing. What kind of peace is it since 1949? They drag it. Zionism have a plan to clean or disperse all the Palestinian people to the other Arab country and take over the whole Palestine. This is a master plan. That's why they're dragging us since 1949. I promise you, the Zionism looking for excuse to use their nuclear and then wipe out all the Muslim, all the Arab from Middle East. I'm writing it down in, and notarize it to you. That's a master plan. Because Zionism...
Well, Jamshid, the problem, thanks for the call and thanks for the kind remarks about the show and about Press TV. But the problem with that kind of mentality is that it presumes that the enemy are James Bonds, who have master plans and who can carry them out, can do anything that they like. But the reality is very far from that indeed. So far from being able to wipe out the Palestinian people and drive them all from their land, so far is Israel from being able to do that. They were unable to enter the Gaza Strip, though they massed 90,000 soldiers on the border just a few weeks ago. They could fire from the air, sure. Any coward can do that against a people with no air force, no anti-aircraft guns, no air raid shelters. Any coward can kill children and women from the sky. But they didn't have the guts or the ability to cross the border into Gaza. And there are two reasons for that. First of all, the Palestinian people would have fought them from house to house, from door to door, from rooftop to rooftop. They would have fought them on the beaches. They would have fought them on the streets. And they would have taken an enormous toll of the so-called Israel Defense Force. And guess what? The members of that Israel Defense Force ain't up for it much anymore. As the brave fighters of the Lebanese resistance proved in 2006, well-led and with sufficient arms and with the belief in what you're fighting for, this so-called IDF can be defeated. Well, the second reason is that the Palestinian people in Gaza now are well armed. Guess why they're well armed? Because Iran and very few others have seen to it that the Palestinian people have the means to defend themselves. So these are all fantasies of the Zionist theoreticians, cleaning areas, stretching from the Nile to the Euphrates. And go tell it to City Hall, Jamshid, as you say in the United States. Thanks for the call from Michigan. David's in London on Palestinian unity and on the European Union question. David, welcome to the show.
Hello, George. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, sir. Go ahead.
George, I didn't quite get what he was saying, but I believe that he was talking about all these master plans and everything. I think if we continue going forward, always believing that Israel is going to have a master plan, then there is no way going forward at all. We have to look in a positive way at Fatah and Hamas coming together and to unite and to have a state of Palestine is the only way to go forward. Whether it be a one-party state, a two-party state, I don't know. But from my previous connections with people in Gaza, all I can say is we have to stop looking behind us and start to go forward in a very positive way.
Very good, David. Very good. I like that.
I see the two parties coming together is a very positive move. And President Morsi is a man that can deal with it and get them to sit down together.
He's doing well, I think, Morsi. Don't you, David? I think that Morsi is doing well, you know. These are one or two tests that have been set for him in the last couple of weeks, and I think he's come through them quite well.
I think he's done extremely well. He's done far more than Mubarak has ever done in the 30, 40 years. He's done more in such a short time, and I pray every day that he continues for his people, as well as the Palestinian people, to be positive and to go forward.
Very good. David, tell me, What do you think of the Americans lecturing the British about their relationship to the Europeans? Sounds all a bit convoluted to me.
Who are they to lecture to anyone?
Exactly.
They can't even sort out their own problems. There's many millions of people on the streets and starving in America. Mm. Who are they to tell us what we should or shouldn't do? Like you, I'm a very big skeptic of the European Union. And quite frankly, back in the 1970s when I was much younger and the way that they spin it off to the public name, yes, I thought it was going to be a good idea. But the bigger the union, the bigger the problems. Let's get out and let us solve our own problems in our own way. America can't even solve their own. All they want to do is keep going in, invading other countries and bringing more problems to the world.
Very good call. Thanks very much, David, in London on that. Talking about Palestinian unity, Egypt's role in bringing parties together, and on the EU. Fahim is in Tehran. He wants to talk about Palestinian unity, and he's most welcome. Fahim, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Mr. Joe. Thanks for having me once more
welcome on
Press TV Yoga. But just very quick points concerning Palestinian Hamas and Fadali talks in Egypt. First of all, I suppose, you know, it's my personal opinion, however you might disagree, but I don't think if President Morsi is someone we can trust. He's an EU man in Egypt. He's playing with all sides. He says whatsoever makes him more popular. Basically, another Erdogan, I mean. I'm sorry for this issue, but I don't think if this is what you know, the Egyptian people want it from their revolutions. Unity is great, but do we really can trust Abbas after all he has done to undermine the resistance in Palestine? Moreover, Morsi seems to be playing devil's advocate, trying to be another failed Erdogan, as I mentioned before, as he felt, you know, miserably in Syrian issue as well. Now it's, you know, obvious that the West is using Morsi's card. But this is one part of my words, actually, Mr. Jude. But as the last part of my words, I've got a very important question for you, whose answer is not clear for me, but I think you can help me with it as well as possible. Do you think if Iran's foreign ministers talk with President Morsi, is going to have an impact on Hamas talks in Egypt?
Well, look, there are a number of points stand out from what you have said. First of all, the Egyptian people chose President Morsi, not the people in Iran, not the people in London, not me, not you. And he's answerable to them. And he's just won a thumping victory in the constitutional referendum. He made a good stand, I believe, better than most people expected, certainly better than I expected, during the attack on Gaza a few weeks ago, Operation Pillar of Cloud, as it was obscenely named. And he's done a good thing today, bringing the Palestinian factions together and trying to get them to implement the unity agreement they made in 2011, but have not yet implemented. And here we are in 2013. Secondly, President Abbas is chosen by the Palestinian people, not by the Iranian people or people in London, not by you and not by me. I have my own views about President Abbas, and sometimes, though not that often, I express them. But we can't choose the Palestinians' leadership for it. The Palestinian people has to choose its own leadership. What we should be doing is urging the maximum unity. Now, on the question of trust, which politicians do we trust, Fahim? I don't trust many, to be perfectly honest with you. This is not a question of me trusting people, but me trying to push, nudge, persuade, convince, agitate, educate, and organize people to do the right thing. It's not a question of trust. Politics is a dynamic business. There's a direct relationship between the agitating, organizing, educating that we do and what the outcome is. These things are not set in stone. And too many people, twice tonight, are failing to see politics as a dynamic thing, preferring formulaic theories, which I think leave us weaker than we need to be. Just my point of view. Tell me yours. Thanks, Fahim. In Tehran, Mohammed is in Kenya. He wants to talk about Palestinian unity too. Mohammed, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Judge Galloway. How are you, brother?
By the grace of God, I'm in good form.
Thank you. We celebrate everything you do for Palestine.
Thank you, sir. I wasn't that far away from you in the Sudan over the last couple of days. I'm making a turn to Africa, studying Africa far more closely than before.
Thanks very much. I never thought you will be on duty tonight, but I was very happy to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
It's something that we've been waiting for. That's the unity of Fatah and Hamas. Because this is something that's going to bring freedom to Palestine. Because a house divided among themselves will not stand. Now what we want is let them be sincere in that unity. Let Hamas and Fatah trust each other. Because that's the only way out. The Israelis have been using their division to rule over them and to delay the freedom of Palestinian people. Now that they have come together, it's a very good news, and we want them to work together and bring peace to and bring freedom to Palestinian people.
Hallelujah. What a wonderful call, Mohammed, in Kenya. Absolutely wonderful. Let me just add this. We have some way to travel, but the massive demonstration for Fatah in Gaza for the first time in 5 years in the last few days was a sign of two things. First of all, wisdom and flexibility on the part of the Hamas authority in Gaza, and secondly, the strength of Fatah, just because it hasn't been visible over the last 5 years doesn't mean that in Gaza its supporters have gone away. Secondly, the demonstration in the West Bank in support of Hamas was a tribute to the flexibility and wisdom of the government in Ramallah and an indication that Hamas is very far from down and out, even in the West Bank. But there are two suggestions I have. The Gaza court, which sentenced to 5 years imprisonment one of the leaders of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, a part of the Fatah movement, just this week, this sentence should be lifted, and this man should be pardoned. And Ramallah should begin to do a bit more work internationally and bilaterally on the freedom of the hero, prisoner, and leader Marwan Barghouti, whose presence in Palestinian politics is more necessary today than it has ever been. Thanks, Mohammed. In Kenya, Ali is in London, wants to talk about the UK and a possible exit from the EU. Ali, welcome to the show. Now, Ali, you've got your volume up, and
Hello.
You have to turn it down.
Mr. Judge Galloway, MP.
Ali, put the volume on the TV down, please.
All right.
Otherwise, we're hearing each other twice, brother.
Yeah, it's off, yeah.
Go on, sir.
Are you all right, sir?
Yes, by the grace of God, yes.
Yeah.
Go on.
I would like to talk to you about, last few minutes, I'm on the... in front of the television. I would like to talk about the U.S. relation with the European Union. Just I've seen on the television is like shows the U.S. interfering on the European Union, where Britain will be and where will not be. So actually I'm looking some problem is like after Second World War, in 1949, the Berlin Crisis and the Truman relation with the U.S. At that time, they made something. But right now, after 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis and, Vietnam War, so many interference USA did and became victim of it. The 27 countries they are making together, but instead, when they can't see as a European friend, the big friend, they don't get the support by the another 26 country. Because of that, maybe their fearing is like they can't interfere, they can't make the NATO the big power in the world to interfere somewhere.
Well, look, Ali, there are two issues here. There are three. Please, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your TV has to be at zero. Otherwise, it ruins the call, Ali, as yours was partially ruined. Secondly, this is a matter for the people of the United Kingdom and nobody else. It's not a matter for the people in Portugal, and it's not a matter for the people in Washington. And the United States government should get out of our internal affairs. We have every right to have a referendum on our relationship to the rest of the European Union. When we get that referendum, I'll have plenty to say about what I think that relationship should be. But here we should build a national consensus from Cameron through Mr. Miliband and right across the political spectrum. Our relations with the EU are none of your business, President Obama. Ali, thanks for that. Here's Reza in Tehran on Palestinian unity and the UK-EU. Quickly, Reza, go ahead, sir.
Hello, good evening, everyone. Good evening, George.
Good evening.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Good evening.
Good evening, go ahead, quickly.
I want to talk about a UK EU. I believe that wherever the UK is just only seeking for its own interests. And I think leaving the EU is an opportunity for other countries, such as Spain and Greece, because they suffer from the pressure which David Cameron resists for its own interest of the country. I mean the UK. And they resisted and did not help the Greek and Spain and put them in pressure. And I want to say that the UK is a country which did not vote for Israel on 1948 at the UN for Israel, as we see it and as we know it clearly. And you can see on the platform of the politics is one of the most important supporters. The UK is the first list of those countries. And this is my, what is the idea about talking to those. At the end, I want to add this, that we want to see you again, or want to see you as the prime minister. So we just want to say that we love you, and I think that you have the ability and you have the capacity for doing that. How does it sound to you?
Thank you very much, Reza, for those kind remarks. I'm sure that your wish will not come true. I'm not going to be the prime minister, but then not many people believed I'd be back as an MP. So you never know what's going to happen in politics, but that is amongst the most unlikely. The only other comment I'd make, Reza, is this. Every government acts in its own interest. Every country acts in its own interest. The task is for a country properly to be able to see its own interests, not to confuse the short term with the medium and the long, and not to confuse narrow self-interest with an inclusive self-interest which benefits everyone and a rising tide which lifts all boats. We're talking about the riots in Belfast, the waving of the Union Jack. There ain't no black in the Union Jack, the old song went, but there's plenty of blood on it. And in Belfast, they're trying to put more. We're talking about US, UK, EU, and Fatah and Hamas. I'll be back, God willing, after the news. I'll be back after the news with the second half of Comment with me, George Galloway, on Press TV. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Now, once upon a time, the so-called loyalists, the Union Jack flag-waving bigots, who for decades in the existence of the wholly artificial so-called Northern Ireland province of the United Kingdom, ruled City Hall in Belfast with an iron fist. And I really mean an iron fist. And sometimes it was hot lead as well. They had their own police force, the B Specials, who were in fact a paramilitary mob, a gang who went out intimidating the Catholic minority in the artificially created six-county statelet and terrifying them out of their rights. Those days are gone. Belfast is no longer a fiefdom of the bigots. And when it recently took a decision to limit, still plenty of occasions, by the way, but to limit the number of times they fly the Union Jack flag from City Hall in Belfast, well, the balloon went up. A whole range of far-right loyalist organizations poured night after night onto the street, shooting even at police officers, which once upon a time would have been simply unconscionable. In fact, oftentimes police officers were working with the loyalist bigots to shoot innocent Catholics, as the Patrick Finucane case proves. And I'll be having an important meeting towards the end of this month in Parliament on that subject. But these riots have gotten so serious that attacks on the police in the north of Ireland are now commonplace. And the rioting over the right to wave the Union Jack on every conceivable occasion, day and night, from a public building is one of the issues we're talking about tonight, as is the UK's right to tell the US where to get off when it begins interfering in UK relations to the European Union. The US government lectured David Cameron's government this week about the error of its ways in seeking a referendum in Britain on our relationship to the EU. My view is we badly need that referendum. We need that referendum very, very soon. And it has to be a comprehensive fixing once and for all of our relationship to the other countries in the European continent. And we're talking about the reconciliation, we hope, between Fatah and Hamas, brokered by President Morsi of Egypt in Cairo today. Shahid's in London, wants to talk about the Palestinian unity. Shahid, welcome to the show. Alaikum salam. Go ahead, sir.
George, well, first of all, I just want to say about something about Press TV, yeah, because me, myself, I was quite ignorant before, and I never really understood what was going on around the world, especially in the Middle East. And thanks to Press TV, I've gained a lot of knowledge, and I'm starting to be a bit more wary about what's going on. So I just wanted to thank Press TV and thank you giving, you know, being the voice of the voiceless, basically.
Thanks, Shahid. Thanks for that.
The only way I get to watch Press TV is through my phone, because I've got an app called Press TV. And the first time when I had this app, what they've done, they've like shut it down, so I couldn't get in contact. Like, I couldn't get watch Press TV, and I was really, really gutted. But recently, my Press TV is updated and everything's sweet, it's working fine. But my point is, Georgia, with Egypt, you know the Rafah crossing.
Yes.
I respect Mohamed Morsi for what he's doing. Like he's opened up the Rafah crossing and he's helping the Palestinian people more than the previous dictator. But the thing what I don't understand is, you know, the whole world. What, like, if I was to do a crime, then I would have to be put in front of a court and being judged. But what I don't get, what I don't understand is, why is every time Israel is getting away with these crimes, why should we say that the Rafah crossing should be open? There shouldn't be no crossing. All the countries, especially as Muslims, we believe Jews, Christians, Muslims, everyone should be living side by side.
Well, look, and that's the way it was, Shahid. Thanks very much. And by the way, thanks for the points about the app. And everybody watching this should get that Press TV app on their telephone. It will be a godsend, I tell you, and will allow you access to Press TV very much more quickly. No, you're right, Shahid. Of course, there's one law for Israel, another law for others. But that's beyond the power of President Morsi to fix. That's a problem in much more powerful, rich and influential countries, even than the great Egypt. Thanks for the call, Shahid. You're welcome anytime. As is Glenn in Portsmouth. He wants to talk about UK-EU relations. And it's a little while since I spoke to him. Glenn, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, George. Nice to speak to you again.
And you, sir. Go on.
I'd like to speak on the matter regarding American interference in Britain's internal affairs. They're still going on as though we are the 51st state or something. You know, I think it's impertinent for them to lecture us on whether or not we should have a referendum on an important issue like EU membership.
Yes. Yeah, it came out of the blue, really. No one was quite expecting, at least of all Cameron. But if he was man enough, he would have said so. And in fact, it would have strengthened his position in Britain. He should have said, how dare you? Do we lecture you about your relations with Canada and Mexico? Do we lecture you about your relations with your allies and trading partners? How dare you tell us what to do, whether or not we should have a referendum on remaining in the EU or modifying our relationship to it? Don't you think, Glenn?
I think so totally, George. You hit the nail on the head. He should have shown some backbone.
Yeah, in fact, he just gave a kind of shrug. But it was clear he was embarrassed by it, I must say. Where do you stand yourself on the EU, Glenn?
Sorry?
Where do you stand yourself on the EU?
I can't stand it, George. I can't stand it. I think it was a disaster. The creation of the European Union was a disaster. It was a disaster, this country going into it, any country going into it. And I think a number of member states have suddenly realised their own very serious mistake in becoming a member of this mafia-type organisation.
Well, there you go. That's unequivocal from Glenn in Portsmouth, a man who never minces his words. And that, I must tell you, viewers internationally, is more and more frequently heard from people in this country. And that's why the blunder of President Obama's spokesman was such a serious one in the ham-fisted lecture he tried to give the British government and people on this subject in the last 72 hours or so. Glenn, thanks for the call. Let's go back to Tehran, talk to Mehdi on Palestinian Unity. Mehdi, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hi there. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
I want to talk about Palestinian groups.
Yes, go
on. What I understand is Hamas and Fatah are getting closer. It may be good from one side, but not so good from other side. I mean, Hamas never recognized Israel as a country, but Fatah did. I hope that this unity between two groups will not end by recognizing Israel as a country by Hamas. And other thing I want to say is, I'm not happy of policy of Hamas against Syria. Syria was the best friend for Hamas. I don't understand what happened between them, but I wish someday Hamas understand what did Bashar Assad to Hamas. Thank you.
Thank you, Mehdi. We're not discussing Hamas's relationship to Syria this evening, but of course you make a very powerful point. For more than 20 years, Syria was the only country that would allow Hamas to base itself there. Hamas ate at the table of the Syrian people and government for decades and were protected from assassination and extinction by the state in Syria. And so the turn, the volte-face, the about-face that the Hamas leadership has made in relationship to Syria must be very painful indeed for the Syrian people. Me, I never sat at their table. They never gave me a bowl of rice. They never gave me a cent. In fact, they owe me money for conferences I went to in Syria and never got the ticket reimbursed. So Syria gave nothing to me. They gave a lot to Hamas. But I'm saying the same thing about foreign intervention in Syria today. As I said last year, last decade, and will say until my dying breath. Because my relationship to Syria is based on principle, not on material interest, either past or present or future. Mehdi, thanks for that call and the opportunity to say that. Simon is in South Sudan, wants to talk about Palestinian unity. Simon, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
Yeah, what I would say about Palestinians will have a relationship with the neighboring countries, like, for example, Egypt. As they are building a relationship with Qatar, they have to be strong on their relationship, because when they lose interest on the border, on the countries which are bothering Palestinians, they have no any other place outside. Like, for example, let's say the Hamas people, when they lose to Israel, Israelis are their neighbors, and they lose control of Israel. This is what I...
Well, they're not their neighbors. What do you mean, Simon? What do you mean neighbors? They're their occupiers.
Simon,
listen to me for a moment. God forbid, if somebody breaks into your house tonight and tells you that they've taken over 80% of your house and they're going to be living in it, and they're going to invite people from America, Russia, France, England to come and join them in your house, you won't describe them, I assure you, as your neighbors. They're not your neighbors. They're your occupiers. They're the thief who's stolen most of your house. Am I right or wrong?
Let me say frankly.
Simon.
Let me say frankly. The Westerns are only for business, but they're not to come and help. They're only for business. When they come in, they wanted to take the resources from where you are.
I'm not really following you, Simon. It's a pity, though, because I wanted to talk to you about South Sudan, maybe on another occasion, and talk to you about the very large number of Israelis in South Sudan and the role that Israel played in bringing about something called South Sudan in the first place. Maybe we ought to do that, Simon. Now, let's see who we have now. Cardiff, oh, Wales. Bashir on Palestinian Unity. Bashir in Cardiff, welcome.
Hi, George Galloway.
Hi there, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, actually, I'm very, very thankful about Hamas and Fatah United and come for Egypt. And Morsi is doing very good job for, you know, to unite them. They said United will not fall. Actually, there was open time. They used to ask me, my Arab brothers, they used to say, why are you fighting? You are same religion. You are same language. I've been Somalian. They used to ask me that question. But most of them now, I'm asking them back for the same question. Why themselves they are fighting? I think they are fighting because of maybe for stomach, because there's an proverb in Somali says, don't look your enemy very far. Your stomach is your enemy. So maybe for the hunger, or maybe for civilization, or they're saying, okay, what we are fighting is mafish muhabba illa adawa, they said in Arabic. But in English, they said there is no love unless there is enmity first. So let them.
There's no what? Just say that again, Bashir.
There is no love unless there is enmity before that.
Maybe so, Bashir. Maybe in Wales. Maybe in Scotland too. Bashir, thanks for that call. Mohammed from Tehran. Lots of calls from Tehran tonight. This one, again, on Palestinian unity. Mohammed, go ahead.
Hi, George. Good to see you.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead, sir.
On the martyrdom of Imam Reza,
upholding him. Of course, the unity between Hamas and Fatah, no brainer, has caused it as well. And it will be good point which will be hold on Egypt. And I want to say the other thing at the least, I want to say, as Aaron David Miller said in Fox News, this is Israeli the Mall's way extending of New Year of the demonstration as well. They think resistance group and Iran can't stand against them, but they have forgotten the war in Gaza and the other war they lost in a few years ago. Another thing, George, I think the result were right. You have this capacity if you want to become a prime minister, and we like to see you as a prime minister in UK.
Well, look, thanks, Mohammed. It's not that I wouldn't like to be the prime minister in the UK. Of course, I would. But it's a very, very remote prospect indeed. I was looking at some scientific data today about the 300 billion stars in our galaxy, in the big, very much wider universe. That's the kind of mathematics, I'm afraid, Mohammed, we're talking about. You need to command half of the House of Commons. You would need to have 326 members of Parliament behind you. I currently am alone in Parliament. But I've made history before, Mohammed. Who knows? Thanks for your confidence in me. Gary in Halifax, in Canada, rather than in England, is always worth hearing from. At least I think it's Gary from Halifax, Nova Scotia, on Palestinian Unity. Gary, go ahead, sir.
Yes, it is I. Good evening, George.
Good evening. Welcome back. Go ahead, sir.
The consummation devoutly to be wished is not exactly what's going to happen in Cairo, but I think they're going to make definite advances about what to implement in the Unity Accord. I was following this file for some time, and of course the big preoccupation in setting up this Unity Accord, 2 years ago now, was the question of elections. And remember, in the case of Palestine, we're talking about elections under an Israeli Zionist occupation.
Yes.
So these are not just any kind of elections, and of course we all know what happened with the last election.
Yes.
It may turn out that that is the last election until Palestine is fully liberated. Nobody knows. But there's more to this than just the sharing out of the top positions and those kinds of concerns. There is the fact that Hamas's candidates of Hamas and the rest of that change and reform slate, they won not a small majority. They had a very significant majority over the candidates from Fatah. And now we have this very special moment that isn't going to come again, where on the one hand, the line of national struggle using warfare to quote-unquote negotiate with the Zionists in the only language they seem to understand, that had its success in the Eight-Day War. And the line, the more protracted method advanced by the Palestinian Authority, it had its success at the UN. So now they both come together with some kind of success to claim for very different approaches. Does this mean they have to unite into one organization? I hope they don't make that mistake. I hope they find a way to continue to coexist and carry on with their strength against an enemy that at this moment is somewhat on the run. And they could really put it much further on the run, because the intervention of Egypt in this is absolutely historic. In the past, Israel could not hold its own against the Palestinians without Mubarak. And now they're without Mubarak. And we will see how much longer they can hold their own, even with American support.
Hallelujah. Gary in Halifax, Nova Scotia in Canada, an absolutely outstanding call and crystal clear analysis with which I wholly agreed. Gary, don't be a stranger. Keep coming back. Idris is in Nigeria on the same subject, Palestinian unity. Idris, welcome to the show. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mother George. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening to you, sir. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Thank you, Mother George. What I wanted to explain to people, especially Christian Nigerian, they always believe that anything that Israel did to the Palestinian is correct. They were misled. They were misinformed. They never knew that they were Christian in Palestine. So everything that goes against Israel, they think it goes against Christianity. So I wanted to take time and explain to the Christian population in Nigeria for them to understand exactly what is happening, because they thought it's a religious conflict.
Brother, you know, I should come to Nigeria. Press TV has a mass audience in Nigeria, I must tell you. But I should come and give some talks in Nigeria on this question. Because the fellow that you are implicitly referring to from last week, it's clear that he had no idea that there was a substantial proportion of the Palestinian people living under occupation who are Christians. There are priests and ministers and bishops and archbishops and patriarchs that could tell the Christians in Nigeria the reality of Israeli Zionist control of their land. Idris, thanks for the call. I've got to press on to Truls in Copenhagen on the EU. We must hear from Copenhagen on the EU. Truls, go ahead.
Thank you very much. I just want to say your show, I try to watch it as much as possible, and I absolutely love it and hope that you will continue forever.
Thank you so much.
Okay. There are two points about the EU that really bother me about the sovereignty or the lack of sovereignty. There's a military build-up obligation that is automatically, at least for Denmark, and I suppose it's for all of the EU countries, that the countries are obligated to maintain and even build up the military. That's the one thing that bothers me, that we've lost complete sovereignty on that point. And the other thing is that the EU Central Bank, Denmark and probably a lot of other countries have agreed to even more loss of sovereignty in bank issues. The European Central Bank now gets more power. They get actually absolute power govern.
Imagine. Giving power, more power to bankers, especially a central bank whose principles are neoliberal economics, which have beggared the people of the European Union almost from one end to the next. It's been marvelous for me. I hope it was for you. And if it was, come back next week with another viewer into. God willing, may you go in peace.
Hello, just comment on your name and the place you left that number. And just make sure that your television volume is set to 0. So
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You redirect me through.